You found the place where God would have you be, and then you beat the devil. Surely the devil tried to trip you up right from the start this morning and talk you out of coming and give you a million reasons why you couldn't or shouldn't, and even convinced you that you wouldn't, and you beat him. And your flesh, which is that third enemy that we all have, the world, the devil, and the flesh, which is the flesh is usually the one we have to deal with the most. Rarely do we have to fight the devil. To be honest, I don't think many of us give him too much of a worry for him to come around us. We're not too big of a threat. The world is always there, but our flesh is the one that we daily battle, the one that will try to manipulate you and trip you up and talk you out of doing anything for God, anything spiritual. Our flesh is at enmity with God. And on the way, during the service, Miss Fern gave me this note, and she wrote out, I want to read it to you before we start. May 15th, 2022. The devil's on the loose. Alarm went off. I don't want to go. I reset the alarm. It went off again. I crawled out of bed. Still don't want to go. Had to add water to the coffee pot. Still don't want to go. Navy shower taken 10 minutes. Still don't want to go. Got my walker, Bible, headed to the door. Don't want to go. Forgot water, left the walker on the ramp, and still don't want to go. I got water out to the walker, and I still don't want to go. A spider made a web in the walker. Ain't going. I'm glad it didn't stop there. It could have, and for a lot of people it would have. Killed spider, loaded walker, guess I'm going. Don't wanna, but I'm here. Devil's frowning, I wanna, I made it. Not gonna miss a Sunday. Good morning. I'm glad I made it. What a powerful, powerful, powerful note. And how real that is. If we had that kind of tenacity and vigor and desire and want to, even when you don't want to do it anyway. That's what being a Christian is. Because rarely, please hear me, if you don't get anything I say all morning, if you'll leave with this, it'll have been worth your time coming. If the only time you live for Jesus and be a Christian is when you feel like it, you will hardly ever be a Christian. You're not going to feel like being a Christian much. It's the character and the integrity of doing it when you don't feel it. Doing right when you don't feel like doing right. Choosing not to do wrong when you feel like doing. I'm saying being a Christian is a set of choices that we make. Conscious choices. That was a perfect example. from a Christian, a babe in Christ. She hadn't been saved near as long as a lot of us that fail that test many times. Thank you, Miss Firm, for coming when you didn't feel like it. We've got a decent crowd here this morning, but we've got a lot of people I know that are out of town or out sick. Let me mention, please pray for Miss Bonnie Carney. Go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 1. Matthew, chapter number 1. And this is not an exciting text that I have for you this morning. What I'm going to read to you, and please hang with me before you mute me out and before you tone me out, just hang with me for a moment. Because what we're going to read and what our text is this morning is part of those scriptures that in your daily Bible reading you will just speed read and skim read and run right through because it's just a bunch of names. And he begat, and he begat, and he begat. And you're like, do I really have to read this, Lord? Well, hopefully this message will encourage you to, next time you come to some genealogies, to read it. God didn't waste what he said. He put it in the Word of God for a reason. And so before you tune me out this morning, give me about 5 or 10 minutes, all right? And let's stand together. You've been seated a while. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 1. If I get to one of these words and I mispronounce it, and you know how to pronounce it better, if you'll just raise your hand, I'll give you the microphone and let you do it, all right? I think we can all just say amen and praise the Lord that our parents wasn't crazy enough to name us some of these names. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahson, and Nahson begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, or Booz of Rahab. And Booz of Rahab begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been with the wife of Uriah. And Solomon begat Rehoboam. And Rehoboam begat Abiah. And Abiah begat Asa. And Asa begat Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Ammon, and Ammon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren, about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Zelothiel, and Zelothiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiud, and Abiud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Ozar. And Ozar begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliud, and Eliud begat Eliezer, and Eliezer begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. And you can have a seat. Thank you for standing. Ain't you glad we made it through that? I promise you are no happier than I am that we made it through the reading of that out loud. It's one thing to read those verses silently and nobody can hear how bad you messed that name up. But when you have to do it publicly, it adds the pressure. But I want to preach this morning with the help of God on the subject, I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. And up there in verse 1, the Bible begins, the Gospel of Matthew begins, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And you say, why in the world did I get up this morning and come and waste my time to hear you read through the genealogies and all this boring stuff? And then Miss Fern give us that note on the way, having no idea that would be the feeling. But hang with me. In Luke chapter 3, you'll find the genealogy of the mother of Jesus. But here in Matthew chapter 1, we just read the genealogy of the surrogate father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a genealogy, but this, listen, there's many genealogies in the Bible. This is one of those genealogies, but this is not just any old genealogy. This is the family that God chose to allow His Son to be a part of. This is the genealogy that God, on purpose, chose sovereignly to place His bloodline, His lamb, His only begotten Son into this bloodline, into this family. And that's a big deal. And that's a very big deal. And this is the family that God chose to place His Son. What a privilege to be part of the family of God, and especially the family that God put His Son in. Amen. I'm in this family. If you're saved, you're in this family. Amen. Now, I'm not physically in this family, but spiritually, I'm in this family. When I was reading through that genealogy, you didn't hear any Michaels begat or he begat a Rochester. Now, I'm not physically in that genealogy, but spiritually, I'm in there. And so are you. If you are in Christ, you are in the family. And I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. Therefore, I'm in the family of God. And so are you if you're saved. I got born again into this family and adopted into this family based on placing my faith and trust and full confidence in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross at Calvary. Amen. And so I want to preach this morning on I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And look at what we as members of the family get to. There's benefits to being part of this family. Listen, there's major benefits to being part of this family. And I want to look at least three of them, time permitting, this morning. The physical family bears resemblance to the spiritual family. You do realize if you're saved, you are part of a family. Ephesians chapter 3 says, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. So if you're saved, you are part of a family. You say, why do I call so-and-so brother, Cameron or our sister Taylor. Why do we use names like that? And why do we treat each other different than we do those just Joe Blow out in the world? Because listen, if you have ever been saved by the grace of God, Brother Jackie, then that means we are by blood family. You're in the same family that I am. We have the same Father. And we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And that will last throughout the ages. And we're part of the family. And what a privilege. What an honor to be part of this family. Amen. Let me say right from the start, if you ain't part of this family, hear me, you shouldn't wait another second. You shouldn't wait to the end of this message, because there are so many benefits you are missing out on by not being part of this family. You are an outcast, and if you are not saved, you are still of your father, the devil. You are still dead in trespasses and sins, and your family is one of darkness. Why would you want to remain a part of that family when you can be part of this family, the family of God? And by way of introduction, because I'm in this family, I've got access. Say amen right there. I mean, I've got access. When I got into this family, when I got saved into this family, I didn't have to wait a month or a year or pay a subscription or pay my dues. No, immediately when I got into this family, I immediately got access to the throne of God. I got access to the ear of God. I became the son of God. And so did you. Boy, there's something about access. Having access, that's a special thing. Listen, when I say my final amen today and dismiss you, I will go home, change out of my sweaty clothes, put some dry clothes on, and I will head to my little mama's house right down the road, and she'll have me some lunch cooked and prepared. And when I get there, I won't knock on the door. You know why? Because I've got access. I don't have to knock on that door. I can walk in that door and say, "Hey, I'm here. How y'all doing?" And I'll just not even ask permission. I'll walk in like it's my place, and I'll open the refrigerator and get me a drink and pour me some coffee and feel right at home. And I'll even go sit down in the recliner and kick back and just be at home. Why? Because I have access. And that's how it is when you become part of the family of God. You got all the rights that Jesus had. I mean, He gave you access to God, to the Father, to the throne. You got access, and you can treat this place. This is the house of God. Don't ever feel second class. Don't ever feel like you got to ask permission or like you got to work your way up or be here long enough. This is the house of your Father. This is not my place or your place. This is God, your Father's house. And you're welcome, and you're welcome to feel welcome at your Father's house. You should not feel uncomfortable. If this is your daddy's, come on in. Amen. And feel at home, because this is, hey, listen, I feel as much at home in the house of God. Not because I'm the pastor, not because my name's on the marquee, not because I get a paycheck from this place, but because my Father owns the place and it's His, and because it's His, I have access to it and I feel like it's mine. And so should you. You don't have to have a title or a class and some different job or no. This is this because you are in the family. This is yours, and you should feel at home. Amen. I don't personally have a key to my mama's house. I could get one if I wanted one. I don't push that. But even here, but I could, but even here to church this morning, I mean, if anybody should have a key to the church, the preacher should. And I've had several. I just give them all away. And this morning, I needed in a building, and I had to go get Stephen to come let me in to the building. But my point is, To gain access to a place, you usually need a key. It's the same to get into this family, the family of God. There is a key that gets you in. See if you can notice it. It's there in verse 1 and verse 16. Look at it. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Then in verse 16, at the ending of the genealogy, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. The key to gaining access and getting access, matter of fact, more than the key, the door itself. Jesus said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he'll enter in through him. Listen, you have access to this family, and the key and the door itself is none other than Christ. Jesus Christ. That's how you get access. That's how you gain access into this family. Amen. I'm glad September 21st, 1991, I was given issued my key and led in and gained access into the family of God. Do you remember the day? Do you remember where you was when everything changed? Do you remember what you were doing? I mean, listen, I don't want to cause anybody to doubt and cause you trouble, but hear me this morning. Hear me this morning. It blows and boggles my mind how that you can go from darkness to light. You can go from being a hell-bound sinner to being a blood-washed child of God. I mean, you can go from having all the sins of the world, all the sins of your life that weighed you down, and then to be released and forgiven of all of that. How? And then be introduced and gain access into the family of God. All that happened. I don't know how in the world you don't remember where you was when that happened. I remember, it's been years and years and years ago, but listen, when I bought my first house, I remember signing all those papers and going through all the documents and all the lawyers and all the stuff that I had to buy. I remember, and finally they give me keys to a home. And it was mine, and I got to gain access. That's just a physical house here on this earth. And listen to me, I remember that. Just to a house that I gained access to. How could you not remember? Amen. When you gained access to this family, the family of God. I remember that so vividly. Everything changed. Literally. Old things passed away, and behold, all things become new. That's what the Bible says happens. And if you're saved, if you're part of this family, hey, listen, you ought to know something about when that happened. That ought not to be just something in the fog way back down memory lane. You should know something. Maybe not the date. You may have forgotten the date or what day of the week, but you should have a place and a time where you... Things radically changed. Not a process, not step 1, 2, 3, not a program, but I mean when you met Jesus and repented of your sin and turned from your sin and by faith believed in the Lord Jesus and He come into your heart and saved you. If that's never happened to you, you are not in the family of God. If that has happened to you, you know it. You should know it. Not only do I have access, but because I'm in His family, I have affection. Affection. Amen. Families are more affectionate to each other than normal people. When my wife and I are on the phone or even a text message, I'll always end with, I love you. And when I'm walking out the door, I say, bye, I love you. When my girls are coming in or leaving out, I say, be careful, I love you. And I'll hug them and I'll touch them and I'll show them affection. Why? I don't just come up and hug and touch on you. And I may come by and shake your hand and hug you every now and then, but I don't show you affection like I do my family. Neither should you. The Bible still says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Mm-hmm. Oh, that needed to be preached, but not this morning. Got time to preach that this morning. I'm saying with my family, there's affection. There's love that's different than just anybody and anywhere else. The Bible says, I have been accepted in the Beloved. When He sees me, I can just hear the Father say, oh, I just love my boy. He's affectionate toward you. Yeah. Listen, I may not have always looked lovable, but He loved me. I may not always have been likable, but He likes me. I may not have always been gracious and graceful, but He had grace on me. I may not have always been merciful, but He has mercy on me. He's affectionate toward me. And He is you if you're saved and part of this family. Why does He do that? Because you are family. He loves me and shows affection to me. It's a love that cannot be separated. Listen, I cannot be separated from this love. This love cannot be subtracted from me. It's a love that settled in my heart. It's a love that saved me and secured me and satisfies me. I'll tell you this, God bless you, and I'm not ashamed at all. I am satisfied with the love of God and the affection He shows me. There's times, I won't get into all my family business, but there's times I don't show the affection I should toward my wife, and she'll let me know. If I'm showing more affection to a golf course or to even working. Here lately I've been doing a lot of working, yard working and helping other people and doing this. And she'll say, I sure do miss you being around me and showing me that time and showing me that attention. And that's how it's supposed to be. Why? Because we're family. We're in love. And if I'm with everybody else and not her, I'm that's taking her time and attention. And I'm saying simply this, I may let her down in my affection I show to her. She may let me down. I may let my children down and not always been as affectionate toward them as I should. I may get aggravated and frustrated and ill. And it's not, I was showing y'all publicly how I feel inside. I'm kidding. Clean your room, girl. Wash them dishes. I'm just kidding. Don't talk back to your mama. I'm kidding. And sometimes we'll get short-fused and not show the effect, and let our children down, and let each other down in the body of Christ. But I can honestly say He's never let me down. I've never went to the Lord and said, Lord, You didn't love on me today like You should have. And Lord, I had to wait on You this time. Lord, I was calling, but You wasn't there. And I needed Your arms to wrap around. No, if I've ever went to Him, He's been faithful and true. He's always been there to be affectionate, and He always will. Amen. When I deserved it and when I didn't. Why? Because I'm part of the family. The family of God. Ain't you glad to be a part of the family? Oh, yeah. Listen, this is a love that cannot be replicated or duplicated. The love of God is in a class all to itself. That's the introduction, and my time is gone. Listen to me. At least one this morning. What are the benefits of being in the family? I said there's benefits, and there are. Number one, there is no death or dying in my future. Right out of the text, listen to me. If you're part of this family, there is no death for you. Death has been taken care of. There's only two of these books of the generations in the Bible. One is found in the first chapter of Matthew, which we read. The other one is all the way back in the book of Genesis, chapter number 5. Don't you take your Bibles. That's why you ought to keep your Bible. Bring your Bible, keep your Bible, and open your Bible, and go back to Genesis, chapter number 5. Real quick, I'm just going to give you one and give you two tonight. But at least, Let's get one benefit together this morning. Turn to Genesis chapter number 5 and let's look at how there's no death in our future because we're part of this family. Genesis chapter 5. Look at Genesis chapter 5, verse number 1. This is the book. I still hear pages turn. I'll give you time. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. Do you see how we read in Matthew chapter 1, this the first gospel, the first book of the New Testament? This is the first book of the Old Testament, the first book of the Bible, Genesis. This is the book of the generations of Adam. And in the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. Look down in verse 5. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. What's those next three words say? And he died. Look down at verse 3 verses later, verse 8. And all the days of Seth were 912 years. And he died. Verse 11. And all the days of Enos were 905 years. And he died. And all the days, verse 14, and all the days of Cain were 910 years. And he died. Verse 17. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years. And there it is again. And he died. Verse 20. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And he died. And all the days, verse 27, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. The oldest man recorded ever to live. And yet, just like the rest, and he died. Verse 31. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years. And he died. Say, why would you take the time and read that? Eight times it was said about Adam's family. That first family. Adam's family. Adam's race. And he died. And he died. Eight times he died. He died. He died. And in Adam's family, you are a dying man or you are a dying woman. If you are born and if you were born and we was into Adam's family, we were born dying people. From the moment we entered into this world by birth, we began dying and headed for a death date. All that were born in Adam die. If you are in Adam's family, you are dying. 1 Corinthians 15 says, in Adam all died. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Who's the first sinner? Adam. Where by sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men for that all had sinned. The book of the Revelation says adulterers and liars and drunkards will be cast into the lake of fire which is the second death. Stay with me. If you are born once, that means you were born into Adam's family and everyone in Adam's family dies. But I'm here to preach this morning on the benefits of being not in Adam's family, but in the family of God. Are you listening to me? Go back to Matthew chapter 1 and let's look at something. I want to show you something. We won't be long, but I want to show this to you. Bless my heart this morning. Go back to Matthew chapter 1. This is the second time you see the book of the generations is found. And I want you to do me a favor this morning with your own eyes. Are you in Matthew chapter 1? You need your Bible open and you need to take your eyes and skim down through the verses we read already. Verses 1 through 16. Skim down through, read down through, and with your own eyes look through those 16 verses. I want the first person to find these words, and he died. Stand up and read it to me. It ain't there. It ain't there. You say, but preacher, we know they died. But the Bible didn't say they died. Because when you get into this family, there is no death
I think the Lord's showing us in Adam, and he died. In Adam, they all die, but in Christ, in the family that Jesus, there is no death. Why? Because Jesus overcome death. Jesus died for every man. He tasted death for every man. And he's showing us in the family of God, there is no death. He said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. He said, listen, I'll give you not just life, I'll give you everlasting life. I'll give you eternal life. Listen, I'm telling you, this old body may lay down one day. It's going to lay down. And they may roll me in here and move this out of the way and have a coffin here. And you'll see my body in a casket and ready to be buried and planted in the ground. That's just, and they'll, some preacher will stand up there and say, Brother Michael Rochester, he's died. Don't you believe a word of it. I hadn't died. I'll be more alive that time and that day than I am this morning preaching to you. In Christ, in Adam, all died. In Christ, all live. Some of you still got a puzzled look on your face and don't believe me. Let me give you some more scripture. The Bible says, back in 1 Corinthians 15, for as in Adam all die, it goes on to say, even so in Christ shall all be made to live. I'm saying with our first birth, we were doomed to die. But with our second birth, praise God, we were delivered from death and given the gift of life. Oh, that's a benefit to me. I mean, to not have to fear death. Hey, listen, Jesus came and whooped death, hell, and the grave, snatched the keys and took the stinger out of death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You, if you're saved, if you're in the family of God, what a benefit not to have to fear dying, not to have to fear death. Death is nothing more than a step to the next world where you'll live forever.
Yes. Amen.
I say that's a benefit. You know, hey, take the billionaires of this world. Take the richest men in the world. They'd spend every last dime and dollar they got to get more time here on this one because they're so scared of dying. What a benefit to be in this family, which issues and ushers you the blessed truth. Brother Ned, you how old?
83.
So you on the back side of it. Not to be putting you in the ground no time soon. I hope you outlive me. But you've lived longer than most already. God's been good to you.
Amen.
And I never hear you talk about, oh, come in biting your fingernails and this could be the day, this could be the week. But I check out of here. You know why? You ain't worried about death. You know you're going to live forever. Because you're in this family, because you were saved by the Lord Jesus, you don't fear dying. You don't fear death. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I ain't never died. I ain't never died physically. But as much as I can be honest with you, I really don't think when it comes down to it, I will have any fear of dying. I mean that. I've come close to dying, real close to dying. And fear didn't grip me and it didn't shake me. You know, because I know where I'm going. I know death is not the end of me. It's the beginning. And what a benefit. Listen, no other family can offer this. No other family. Listen, before you got into this family, you were cursed. You were of your father, the devil. You were dead already. You were already, people say, oh, I'm worried about one day having to stand before God and be judged and Him condemn me. Can I remind you, if you're not in this family, if you've never been saved, the Bible says you are already under condemnation of God. You've already been found guilty before God and under the condemnation of God.
Amen.
You're condemned already. So leave your father, the devil, and come join our family. Why would you not? The benefits are literally out of this world. So, If you've been born, you've heard this, but if you've been born once, you'll die twice. If you've been born twice, you only have to die once. Amen. This evening, we'll come back and look at the second two points of this. But the first benefit is there's no death in my future. The second benefit is there's no disparaging of my past. And I'm going to show you that right out of the Bible. And I want you to come back tonight and see this. There's no disparaging of my past. And we're going to take these verses, I mean this genealogy, and we're going to show you from the Bible how you can't discourage me look down in disdain at my past. God didn't even do it to these. And then finally we'll look at there's no difference in my present. We're all equal in this family. There's no big I's or little U's. I'll show you that right from the Bible. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word. Even the parts, God, that we sometimes read over with glossy eyes. God, as we fall asleep reading sometimes, Lord, forgive us. Lord, all Scripture is given, is profitable for doctrine. Lord God, I pray you'd help us and speak to us. Thank you for the privilege of being part of the family of God. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, that I'll never have to worry about death. Thank you, Lord, that in my future, death has already been taken care of. Lord, you died once and for all, God. Give us victory over death, hell, and the grave. I thank you for that. I pray if there's somebody here today, God, that's not in the family, I pray you'd bring them into the family. Adopt them. Lord, let them be born again into the family of God. Oh God, who in their right mind with the light of the glorious gospel having been shown abroad in their heart, I pray God, turn the switch on. Reveal to them, Lord, they are their father, the devil. They're living in darkness. They've been hoodwinked and blinded by the God of this world. And they could not see, but now, if that's you this morning and you've never been saved, say, what do I got to do? How do I get into this family? I'd like to be in this family, but what do I have to do? All you have to do is come. And he said he would in no wise cast you out. If you would just come to him and say, I want in. I want out of my family that I was born into. I want out of Adam's family where I'm doomed and damned to die. Pay for my sins in hell forever. I want into the family of God. I want into the family where death has been dealt with, where there's benefits, where there's a Savior and a Lord. If you are saved this morning, you ought to thank God for being in part of the family of God. You ought to thank God this morning that He let you in. We're almost done, but you can look this way. I want to tell you this morning, we take it for granted being born in the South and being born in this area. Most of us have been in church our whole lives, have heard the gospel our whole lives, and we just take it for granted. But could I remind us all, there's 7 billion people plus on planet Earth. The majority of them have never heard a true presentation of the gospel. Just simply what you've heard this morning. And so sometimes this gets boring to us, but it should never get boring. It should never gloss over our eyes and make us ready to move on and get over and get past this and get to something. Hey, this is big. Amen. This is huge that God led us into His family. What a benefit. What a blessing. What a blessing. Well, thank you for coming this morning. If I can help you anyway after the service, if you'll